Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday, October 7th, Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council SB 823 subcommittee meeting. My name is Steve Sentman. I am the chair. At this time, we will move to our agenda items, starting with number one, with welcome and introductions. And of course, we need to do a roll call for those who are in attendance. So I will start with Kimberly Doyle from the district attorney.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Assistant District Attorney Kimberly Doyle, and I'm the head of juvenile court on behalf of DA Todd Spencer. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Laura Jose from Public Defender.
Mm-hmm. Not here yet.
Judge Motueke from juvenile court. There she comes. Let's let her sign on here.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm here.
Okay, Judge Motueke, thank you for being here. Raymond Sanchez, community member.
Here, Raymond Sanchez, representing Project Kingship.
Thank you, Raymond. Don Smith, healthcare agency.
I am here. Thank you.
And Heather Benjamin, community member.
Present.
Thank you, Heather. And Lynn Garrett, education representative.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Kim, community member.
Present.
Thank you. Nazli Restrepo, community member.
I am here.
Thank you. Ken Santini, Social Services.
Present.
Thank you, Ken. And Don Smith, I see you on there. I just got to have you verbally say you're with us.
I am here. I thought I said it earlier, but I might not have been able to be heard. So I am here. Present.
Okay, Don. All right, Don. Thank you. Thank you for being
thank
here.
You.
Thank you, everybody. So as we get ready to move through our agenda here, each of you should have received the attachments of the draft 823 committee plan that's put together with a secondary draft that was put together. And I just want to acknowledge and thank Assistant Chief Brian Pareto and Chief Deputy Daniel Hernandez, as well as Judge Motueke and her group of folks that have worked together as we have two draft plans, which I'm hoping we can take the original draft plan and merge the needed information. But just thanks to everybody who's put all the added details that we wanted to put move our plan forward. Just to mention what we're looking at, a timeline, our next 823 committee plan meeting will be 10/21, October 21st. And as we come out today's meeting with approval of our draft, we'll have a view of our final plan. That final plan then would go to the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council on October 28th. And then on either the month of November, probably closer to December, the plan would be sent to the Board of Supervisors for their review. So just kind of a timeline where that'll take us up to. If we should go along with this timeline, after the Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council on 10/28, more than likely we will not need a subcommittee meeting for November and December. We'll get to that point. But just so you know, plus we have all the holidays in mind. And then we'll move forward from there. So just to kind of give you all a timeline. And again, thank you for everybody's input. I have gone through these plans numerous times as the chair and obviously as the chief probation officer and understand the importance of it. Since we last met too, I've also been up in Sacramento and met with Dr. Galley. Dr. Galley will be in charge of the Office of Youth and Community Restoration. And several probation chiefs went up and met with him and had some discussions about our plans and, you know, expressed some of our concerns about some of the unknowns of the OICR and how that's going to impact plans. And every county's doing our best to put a plan together, but knowing that we'll need to really understand where the OICR stands too forward. And I believe he understands that. For those that know Dr. Galley, he's got big things going on, including 823. So we were there just to share some information with him. So with that, we'll move to item number two, discussion of services and programs provided from members. And I'm going to ask Jamie this on a technical question. I'm going to look, but items two and three are often very similar. Maybe look to switch that agenda forward, because this is the one that's been to the public and the group. We'll keep it this way. But is there any discussion items about services and programs provided by any of the members? Any additional information? Okay. Jamie, can you check for public comment on item two?
Yes. If anybody wishes to speak on item two, if you could hit *9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on your Zoom app. We have no request for item two.
Okay, Jamie, thank you. And then item number three, discussion of subcommittee member group reports. Again, is there anybody from that's on any type of subcommittees and have any type of reports for the group before we move to item four? Okay, Jamie, again, can you ask the public for any comments on item number three, please?
If anybody wishes to speak on item three, if you could please hit star 9 on your phone or the hand raise icon. And we have no request for item three.
Okay, Jamie, thank you. On to item number four, discussion and approval of draft Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, OCJJCC Subcommittee draft plan. Again, as I mentioned earlier, two attachments were given to you with your agenda. One is the initial draft plan that we have been working on diligently since April. It's hard to believe we're already in October as we continue to move forward. And then, again, I want to personally thank Judge Motueke and the people that she's worked with that submitted a secondary draft with further information, I believe, that the group wanted. And I just want to kind of set our framework on how we can get through this. If you all remember, there's basically 8 parts to the committee plan. There's been multiple discussions from the committee regarding the plan, making sure that we cover each area. And that would be my intention, is to just go through each part of the plan with the first attachment, which is the original draft. And there's some of the areas that I've reviewed, and I would look to include some areas that also came from Judge Motueke's working group too, to compile one draft. If the committee is fine with that, we'll start, just take it section by section. I think there's only 2, maybe 3 sections that we've had ongoing discussion that I think we can get to a level of agreement on, but if everybody's fine with that, I'll just start us through the sections. And first of all, I wanted to use the, if you look at the cover, I'm sorry, I kind of blurred it out here, but the cover that was submitted by Judge Motueke, I would ask the committee if they're comfortable with that being the cover of our plan, if that was put together. I see Daniel smiling. Or did you do it, Daniel, or did Judge Motueke do it? Judge Motueke? Okay, full. She's very creative, so we appreciate that. But I think the cover is, there's more coming out of that cover compared to our other draft cover. So if we're good with that, we're going to use that as our cover.
We lost you, Chief. Okay, I'll go poke my head in his office and see if I can rescue him. Hang on.
And just to announce to everybody, Laura Jose did join us a couple minutes ago.
Thank you, Jamie. I was just emailing you to make sure you caught that.
Yeah, I saw you.
Okay, was I the only one with the technical difficulty jumping off? Well, I'm back.
Yep.
Jamie, I'll make sure I put a check in the mail. Can you push me out there just to make sure I paid attention?
And just so you're aware, Laura Jose did join us, actually before we started voting on anything. So she, I'm not voting, but before items 2 and 3 were held.
Okay, so I can we can still continue with item 4, and
yes,
then we will just confirm, Laura Jose, you are here at the meeting, correct?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Laura. Okay, Jamie?
Yes.
Okay, so back to where I was before the technical difficulty. We've decided on a cover for our plan, which was submitted again by Judge Motueke and her group. And before I was signed off there briefly, we were talking about the table of contents. We do not have that in our original draft from our group on attachment item number 1. So I would recommend that we have a table of contents just for the benefit of our board or others that read it, so they can follow the report, if everybody's comfortable with that. The only thing I want to do is make sure, and Judge Marika, I'm going to ask you this on item number 9. This is areas of need for development for target population. That section is actually referred to as Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant. Are you fine with changing that on there? So it would be...
What page are you on?
So we're looking at the table of contents. And you're going to go program services. Right below that, we have areas of need for development for target population. And actually, that section is referred to as Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Funds. I think it addresses the same area, but okay. If you're comfortable with that?
That's good.
Okay. And then the only thing I wanted to add for the table of contents, I'm going to ask the committee, I did like the inclusion of future enhancements. We'll discuss that as we get to that section, but I would like, as the table of contents, if we can go back to this before we finalize this later today or consider it. But future enhancements, I like that Judge Motoriki, those pieces that are added, so we don't forget them later as we continue to move through. Okay. The next section is the introduction section and reviewing the attachment 1 and then reviewing the attachment, I'm just going to call it the PJ group for now. I believe the same amount of information, I was just wondering with the committee here. The only thing is on community members, we do need to remove Megan Medlin. She is not on the committee. I noticed her name was still on both the written list with emails. We'll have her name removed as the written piece. I just want to see from the committee, was there any differences between the two introduction sections? That would have been page 1, both reports, or both draft plans, I'm sorry.
Chief, just for a little context, I tried to kind of like utilize what Brian had put in the draft 1.
Okay.
I tried to use as much of the language there, and then I just wanted to add more, so that's kind of what I did with draft 2.
Okay.
So to the extent that I could, I just kind of, you know, brought over Brian's language, just so you know when you're comparing them.
Okay. I appreciate that, Judge. Thank you. So any comments from the introduction section? Again, it talks about the Senate bill as a result of the committee, what we're instructed to do. It does mention that the subcommittee held its first meeting. So it takes the reader through the process that we've been through, and I think that covers that point for introduction. Okay, gotta make sure I keep all these piles together. Secondarily would be the actual written write-up of the subcommittee. Again, we will remove Megan Medlin as a community member.
And also, if you could adjust Heather Benjamin, that's way too many letters in my name to remember, so I'm gonna need you to remove the A.
Okay, Heather, we're just trying to rename you. That's how much power this group has. Okay, we will correct that, Heather. Thank you for that.
Thanks.
I also have Daniel on here making some notes for me. So
yeah, so Chief, I think if the judge's draft introduction is fairly inclusive of the first draft and with just some nuances added, then I just recommend we just incorporate the judge's draft introduction since it's all-inclusive basically.
Okay.
And I think we discussed the additional sections that are in the judge's draft of allocations and eligibility, which is the next, the next page. I think we're more specifically identified in draft 2, so those are kind of part of the introduction, or well, I guess in addition to the introduction. So I'll just recommend we just adopt those as they are too. They're kind of the statutory explanations, and I think there was a previous discussion about a desire to include more of the statutory authority and things like that. So I think those are fine, and we just adopt those. I'll just recommend adopting those as additional sections, which are already listed in the table of contents as well.
Okay.
Well, before we get into the target population, which is really the first part of the actual findings.
Okay, Daniel, thank you. So we've got the cover, table of contents, the introduction, as well as the allocation and eligibility of funds. These were all submitted on behalf of our presiding judge. And the committee's Go ahead.
Just a point of clarification, and just so the ease of understanding, can we name the page numbers? Because
I'm not sure
if it's the judge's draft and final draft and final draft.
So the cover will have the orange stripe.
Page 29? Okay.
Yep. And then we have page or letter small I for table contents. Page 1 is the introduction. And page 2 would be the allocations and eligibility of funds. Those would be all the pages so far agreed upon, and those all came from the secondary attachment from Judge Moroike. Page 3 would be actually be in a nicer print, which I appreciate that. With the blue, we would remove Megan Medlin, and page 3 would be actually item number 1 of E23 is the subcommittee composition, and with the exception of removing Megan Medlin. And we had Heather Benjamin. Make sure we have her spellings all correct on there.
And then, Chief, just my phone number. I think it's we have a different number we wanted to use.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
714-909-5225.
909. And the last four again, please?
5225.
5225. Okay, Steve, thank you. Appreciate that. And does that go the same for you, Raymond? We don't have a phone there for you, Raymond.
Yeah, let me give you mine. You ready?
Yep.
714-941-8009.
Okay. Right. Now, our next section of our report is the target population, which we are to briefly describe the county's realignment population supported by the block grant. In looking at this, it's under Welfare and Institution Code 1995, parentheses C, parentheses, parentheses 1, parentheses. In that first section, we do have, in both attachments, attachment 1, it is not numbered, I apologize for that, but that would have been the original one that came from the plan that says draft. And then we have secondarily, which would be page 4 from Judge Motoike's group. What I would ask in reviewing both of these, I think that the information is covered and added. Last time we asked our department here in probation to add the additional numbers, and I think we covered that first section. Is there any discussion from the committee? Again, referring to attachment 1, the first attachment and the target population section.
Can I just ask you one question? I'm sorry, I'm kind of confused. So when we're looking on page 4 of the one that was submitted originally, it says briefly describe the county's realignment target population, but actually in the code it says provide a description. So I don't know where the briefly came from, if I'm just missing that.
Okay, let me look, I got
it came from the BSCC. That was just in their issuance of these guiding documents, that language was just written by the BSCC.
Okay, so my concern is, I think we talked about it before, it says briefly describe, but it does say provide a description of the county's realignment target population. So when I was looking at Judge Motowiki's proposal, it actually shows all the actual offenses that were committed by the individuals that we currently have within our population, and that allows us to have a better understanding what our target population is. So I just wanted to make sure I pointed that out, because I was a little bit concerned about briefly describe.
Okay. Kim, thank you for that. I do see it does say describe, and we have the SEC. I'm looking here. I don't think we're brief in our description here. I think it does cover youth. I'm just trying to make sure what section of Judge Motoike's report on page 4 that was missing in that section. I thought it was pretty...
I think that the actual data is missing, but I don't know, Kim, is that what you're talking about? Because I left that kind of open because I didn't have all the data at hand to fill in to provide the description under all of these identifiers. So I was hoping that Chief's team, I know he has a wonderful data team, might be able to assist with filling in those identifiers as far as the percentages or number of youth.
So are we looking at page 5 where the actual charge, it lists, for example, PC 187 and the number of youth and just plugging in? Is that the section we're talking about? To make sure I'm following that.
I would say yes, Chief. When it came to the descriptions, I know within the paragraph on page 4 of, let's say, the first draft, it doesn't actually specifically say how many youth are currently looking at 707 offenses for each one of those 707s. And yeah. I think that to describe those would be important. Am I missing that, Daniel? Because I believe that if we can fill in that chart, it would better aid us, especially the committee, for the purposes of the block grant, to say, this is what we're looking at with our youth population. We're seeing a lot of kidnappings. We're seeing a lot of, you know, gang crimes, threats, for the purposes of programming.
Okay, so I see what you're saying. Yeah, so in the first draft, it refers to the snapshot that we took back in June where it refers to the 51 kids, but then in the second draft it's culling out by offense how many youth committed each type of offense, so that's the difference?
Correct.
So what we would look to do, Kim, if I understand, where you start in that paragraph where it starts to describe the offenses, we would remove all of that written piece there and plug this chart in with the information, which is all these offenses listed. It's just what it is. It's got the number of the section 205 of the penal code and lists what it is. In lieu of that, we could put this chart in there and then put the number of youth that would apply to this or that have been involved with those charges. That's what you're asking.
Well, I think what I would like to do is actually just use Judge Motowiecki's actual section that says target population, because it's written, not that either one is written better than the other, but it's easier to read Judge Motowiecki's draft because it actually goes through the target population and then goes into the specific youth for each one of the 707s.
Yeah, I see where you're talking about the percentages. And,
correct.
Okay, understood.
And Steve, I'm also noticing in second draft, page 4, it is also inclusive of that snapshot information, refers to the 51 youth as well. So it's not like, yeah, it's not one is replacing the other. I think it's the second one is comprehensive, including what was necessary from the first draft and adding on top of it. So
Okay. Thank you, Kim and Daniel and Judge. Appreciate that. So what we'll look to do is, if the committee is fine, so under the topic of target population, WIC 1995 C1, we will use the from page 4 of Judge Motowiecki's, we'll use that as the page 4 as well as page 5, and that will address that section, as I understand.
Yeah, and then on page 6, when it gets into additional target population information, just for the group, Steve did reach out to our research folks to gave them that entire list to see what of available information we could fill in. So not all of that might be at our fingertips, but whatever it is, then we'll shoot to have that in the final draft for the next meeting.
Okay, so that would be the second section, which were demographics of identified target population, including number served, or is this the additional target population?
The under additional target population information, so just with the understanding that whatever is not at our fingertips by the next meeting would be excluded, but we'll put whatever we can get into the final plan. And
okay,
I think we're all on the same page about this. We can continue to drill down into what our folks, what are the kids we're working with are going to need in the next year as we're actually putting these programs together. So just to get the plan off the ground for the 21st and the 28th meeting.
Okay, so
we'll include what we can.
Okay, so page 4, page 5, as well as page 6 will be the section that we're addressing for target population.
And can I point out one more thing, Steve, just so we know we're identifying the right group? I just want to stress the point that it's ages 14 through 25, because that's who's going to be housed. So I think that that's important. We're pulling out the statistics and numbers. It has to be 14 through 25.
Okay. I see what you're talking about. So make sure. Okay, Daniel, you make a note of that.
Yeah, and that's specifically mentioned. Yeah, in the introduction of on the additional target population section.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we've got the target population section done. Again, probation will look to just put as much information in the additional target area with the percentages. We will add that. Okay. All right, then the next section is the program and services, which has had some great conversations related to that. When I look at the original draft that we wrote and then secondarily that came from the judge, I know one of the questions was ensuring that we have a difference identified of the target population versus a youth committed to the secure track youth. I know that the committee had a discussion that we would understand that a secure track youth, the difference would be the enhanced frequency of the services that would be provided. When I look at the attachment one draft, we do need to add that language. I look at page 7 of the second attachment that came from Judge Motueke. That first paragraph that is written there, I think if we added that paragraph with the addition of committed secure track youth will be provided with enhanced frequency of services. And then the rest of the first attachment, all that information flows with the way the program services would be provided to the youth. And then moving over to, I just wanted to add one more section on page 9, was to add the planned additional services. And I think the key word there is planned additional services, knowing that we need to continue to enhance and broaden the level of services as we move through into the coming months as well as years for our youth. And Judge, I just want to thank you for that, for addressing that. Those are many of the different conversations we had, and we should add that to the programs and services section. So that was probably way confusing. Let me just try it one more time and see if it flows well for everyone. If you look at the first paragraph, it starts with, in addition to having access to existing services, remove that first paragraph and insert the first paragraph that came from page 7 from Judge Motueke's report. The County of Orange is committed to providing, and adding the final sentence of committed secure track youth will be provided with enhanced frequency of services. Let's just start with that piece right there. If the committee's with that, we're trying to again pull in with additional information that people wanted. I think the key thing with programs and services, where our struggles or maybe our challenges were, we provide a lot of this programming for our youth. And we want to make sure also that we leave ourselves enough flexibility to add additional programming, which that last paragraph does from page 9. So let's start with the first paragraph. Is everybody comfortable with copying the first paragraph where it starts with the County of Orange and then ending with the secure track people will be provided enhanced frequency of services and moving that to replace the first paragraph on the draft page. I'm going to go, that's a yes. We look like we're good with that.
I'm sorry, Chief Sentman. I'm not seeing the sentence that you're referring to that we're going to end the paragraph with.
Yeah, no, that's what we had discussion. And I'm looking back from my notes, so that's a verbal adding that last sentence. So
okay.
It would take the from page 7 from Judge Motueke's report, and then the last sentence where it says follow the youth after release to assist in reentry process, and then the next another sentence would be added that secure track youth would be provided. So it makes we're addressing the targeted population, but from the target population, what would be the difference for secure track would be covered in that sentence.
Chief, what was the sentence again? Secure track youth would be provided. I'm sorry.
I would put, or we can put, committed secure track youth will be provided enhanced frequency of services. Because when you look at the beginning of the paragraph there, Judge, it talks about the target population. So that's one group we're dealing with. And the difference for the secure track youth would enhance the frequency of services, which was what we got from the previous discussions.
So under draft one, I think what we're trying to reconcile is it mentions secure track throughout draft one. And I think we've either you need to look at the larger target population maybe not being called secure track youth, right? They're just the eligible youth versus an actual committed secure track youth who would also benefit from all these enhanced programs and services. However, that youth may have already been receiving those and continue to struggle, right? And so that's where a judge may be looking for even more options beyond what the target population has been receiving. And so that's where we're looking to draw a line between a larger target population and a youth that a judge could actually order into secure track, which would include an even more intense frequency of services provided by, again, all the included providers, CU, those kinds of things as well. So a judge does have a more intense option if what is already being provided to the larger eligible population does not seem to be having effect. Again, prior to a adult commitment, for example, or something else. So
I don't have a problem with that as a topic sentence. I think it is in line with what we talked about as a topic sentence for the first paragraph.
Okay. Adding the frequency of services. Okay.
The verbiage that you just said.
Yeah. Okay. And then as we go down from paragraph, the next second, third, fourth, and fifth paragraph on that page, is that what you were talking about, Daniel, or is it still talking with the first paragraph?
Yeah, I think that's where we may need to clarify the use of the term secure track. You know, is it the eligible versus committed? Am I the rest of the group agreeing with that? That we need to be clearer about that? Are we trying to differentiate the eligible population versus a committed secure track youth?
No, I think you have to have that, Daniel, because if we're having the same programming for non-secured track youth, you have to do that because of 707.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I was on the same page there. But yeah, so I think that's what we have to, in the final draft, we need to be careful about separating the references to those two populations and not just use the term secure track throughout the whole thing.
Okay, so again, we have the first paragraph eliminated from the draft, moving over the judge's first paragraph with the additional sentence moving in there, and then the rest of that section flows up until the needing to add the I think it's very important to add at the end of this section the planned additional services and areas for mental health, sex offender treatment, and behavioral and trauma included, and then there's multiple areas listed there too, which could be enhanced frequency of those type of programs if we don't have them, or making sure that we do have them.
Yeah, so Steve, that's the one that's titled Areas of Need for Development or Target Population. Right? So that was the additional table of contents section, right? So I think that is, so, and Judge, correct me, I think that's intended to be part of the Programs and Services section, right? Okay, so it's like a sub category of that section.
I think that we've probably decided that that should be the Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant Fund section.
Okay. Because then I think that, because that's where we actually get into the meat of what types of services we want to see, right? Additional new services, and so.
Right. I needed to go back for a second. So I was confused, Chief. Which draft are you referring to as far as it flows after the first paragraph for programs and services? Are we keeping then? I was confused. Which?
Yeah, I apologize. So the original draft that we had, attachment one, we're replacing that first paragraph to add, and also add the sentence about secure track with enhanced frequency. So that would replace just that first paragraph in the original draft, pulling your first paragraph over to there. And then I think what Daniel's saying is making sure we review the next three, four, five paragraphs to ensure that we're identifying correctly where it says secure track, if it should say target population or target youth. Make sure I got that. Daniel, is that what you're saying there?
Chief, are we going to address the second draft from Judge Motoiki as far as the paragraphs that
have been suggested to be included in the programs and services?
Yes, that's where I'm going to go next, Kim.
Okay, perfect. Sorry, I just wanted to...
Yeah, so then when we look over to...
I feel like there's a lot of confusion going on, and I feel that perhaps sharing a screen could be helpful to know exactly what you're talking about, because I feel like I'm going back and forth in the paper, and I just think it'll ease communication and understanding as we move forward. Otherwise, I think we're going to go back and forth on this a lot.
Now it's going to be an interesting one for me to do. Daniel's even laughing. He knows.
I have to agree, though, because it's, I mean, I have three screens available to me, and I'm still confused. So
yeah.
I got both printed out.
That's the way I was doing it.
I think it would also be helpful if we had any public comment or just the public you know, transparency as well, but it's hard. We're having a hard time, so I think we need to kind of pause and see how we can do this. I'm happy to share a screen and follow along, or Jamie, I don't know. I think we need to figure that out.
Yeah. Anybody here can share their screen? I mean, I can do it, or Chief can do it, Nasley, you can do it. Anybody here can, so.
Thank you, whoever that was.
Nasley.
Nasley, thank you so much, Nasley. Okay, so where we see, this is from Judge Motoike's draft. We were talking about this first paragraph right here. The first paragraph says the County of Orange is committed to providing. And then that's where we're going to add that sentence at the end of that paragraph right there. Thank you. The committed secure track youth will be provided with enhanced frequency of services. That's about as far as we got. I'm sorry, we're bouncing back and forth, but that's where we got. So that would move it to, thank you, focus on that. Thank you, Nasley.
Chief, are you using your draft, your original draft, as the, you're using that as the main?
Not the one with all the red. It was the second, the final. One came red, the one came in final. Either one, I think they say the same, though.
Okay, and then you're just adding things from Judge Motoike's draft.
That's what I'm trying to use the, thank you. Original one is the template for us, and then pull from Judge Motoike. So I think it's, to the judge's point, she included a lot of Brian's, but I figure we work off of one and then go to the other and give that a shot. So.
I understood that. I just thought, we should be explicit, so if anybody's following along, thank you.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. And then, so I'm looking at the sentences that follow on the original draft. Sorry, thank you. Or the paragraphs that follow, I should say. It does talk about the facilities programs. For those populations, there we go. There'll be one above that.
This is Daniel, and I'm open to and don't mind compiling elements from both or whatnot. The only thing that I notice, my only input would be on the second draft, Judge Motoike's draft, which is page 8, it discusses the youth-to-officer ratio of being 1-8, and we typically exceed that, actually. I mean, in a positive way, it's probably more like 1-4 or 5, especially in some of these our high need units. So that can vary, you know, depending on other factors. So I'd rather just not put the ratio, or at least put at least or something like that. We're going to talk about staff to youth ratio.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. Because I didn't know. I knew it was 1-8. I knew sometimes it was even better than that. But I think it would be helpful to put at least.
Okay. Yeah, we do even better than the national requirement.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, 1-8 is the PREA standard, but we often exceed that. So yeah, you were right. Now that you're
the like, state standard, yeah. So we beat both state and natural, national. I think that's good.
Okay.
Have a question as well. I'm a little slow, but I think I've caught up here. On the CFT, not fully familiar. I mean, I understand what it is. Is there any chance we could include community-based partners as part of that CFT team? I know I see probation, healthcare agency, and Department of Ed, but would it be appropriate or possible to include?
Yeah, and you know what, Steve? Yeah, that's what we discussed in our ad hoc and that case planning document. Yeah, community programs are actually included as a party on the document. So that's probably just an oversight here. Yeah, they will be part of the CFT, as well as parents and everybody comfortable. Yeah, so they're all listed as members to be included, you know, as available here.
Awesome. Thank you for the inclusion. It's awesome.
And yeah, is it correct? Sorry, Steve, that was an oversight on my part. So I think if it's not explicitly there, we should probably include it. I don't know if anybody has an issue with that. I put the peer mentor navigator, but I think, you know, somebody else from the community-based organization, that would be helpful.
Awesome. Thanks, Judge.
Okay. So looking at page 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Judge Modelique's report, at least up through page 11, that information appears to flow better than the original draft, as I can understand from the group and what I see, Tim. So we're covering, so when we get into the other, we're covering the mental health. It's section A, mental health support services to promote healthy adolescent development, family engagement, reentry, including planning and linkages to support employment and housing. All those areas are covered. That comes from the statute also. And I'm sorry, one more, and then we go to page 12, evidence-based promising trauma-informed and culturally responsive services. And then that area is covered too. There's two sections in there. We go to the top, I'm sorry, page 12. Now, I should look up the screen while you're going. I go to page 12 if you can. There was a question from the... Okay, so there's E right above a little bit. Come down just a little bit on page 12.
I think you meant first full paragraph of page 12, right, Chief?
Yeah, right after where it says Orange County intends to set aside funding to support rental assistance, clothing, job opportunities. This is some of the areas we were talking with Ken Santini, acknowledging that housing, and I think that's what we were looking to ensure that we have that as part of our plan, knowing that that's important for the youth we're servicing.
And that's great if the subcommittee agrees, because I kind of just threw that language, seeing that other counties had identified that as a need.
Yeah. And again, I think this plan is real important, not that we'll have every program established, but really identifying those needs forward for our initial plan is key, Judge. So if the committee is okay with that, I'm just trying to follow along better here with Nasley's assistant. I appreciate that. Is the committee fine with that? Go ahead, Dan.
I have one other kind of general comment, and this is, you know, kind of in reference to what Brian had brought up the last couple of meetings as concerns regarding specificity versus, you know, being general, is under E, the evidence-based programming, and wherever else it includes such references, that, like, the second paragraph says, such services will include, and it names aggression replacement therapy. So we do use aggression replacement therapy, like at YGC. But what if there's something, you know, else or better, or, you know, I would just make a general recommendation that we include language like such as or something like that. You know, just to be a little bit we're including the spirit of it, that these are the things we want to do, and. But not locking into a specific name program.
I think Dawn and I think the same thing. May instead of will.
Yes, such services may include.
May include, there you go.
Okay, may include. Thank you, Dawn, appreciate that. So has everybody followed that part of in section E there? The services and programs may include through existing and new contracts.
Yes. Also, I'm sorry, I have a question. Is consistent, does that just mean that we're consistently using cognitive behavior therapy approaches, or such services will include evidence-based cognitive behavior therapy approaches and or groups? And does the word consistent need to be there?
So I think that was probably referring to in the conversation that I started, where we're able to provide, our staff, the correctional officers, are able to provide a lot of this, but not consistently. So the idea would be, if we had another provider under contract, then we can better designate when these services are going to, and they're going to, you know, so maybe that's not the, maybe there's a better way to say that, but I think that's the intent, is that it's as prescribed, or so it's not
I took that, Don, sorry, Daniel, I took that from the ad hoc discussions that we had, and I literally just took what we identified as consistent evidence-based cognitive, but like Daniel's saying, if there's a better way to phrase that, we should do that.
So is that we're able to do it, but more on a hit or miss basis if it's our correctional staff, so I think we want other folks to be able to do it as well, to be consistent. It's every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or it's every Tuesday, Thursday, so we're not missing weeks as kids transfer around.
I recently came across, it sounds so simple, but PYD, Positive Youth Development. It was one of the evidence-based programs that was in a presentation I recently saw. I don't know if you all, I mean, it sounds like words that we use all the time, but they specifically called out PYD. I don't know if that term is helpful, but it seems to fall under the evidence-based practice umbrella in the way to use it. So Positive Youth Development has been used, so that's helpful as well.
Steve, would that be in lieu of positive pro-social programming? Is that different?
I think it's with. I feel like it's...
Well, we do have it in the paragraph up above. The services and programs will be centered on positive youth development model.
Oh,
supportive youth pro-social development including. So it is included in the paragraph above there, Steve.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
And Judge.
But Don, I can tell from your reflective face that do you think that we need to put? Because like I said, I literally just pulled it from our discussion. So if there's another way of phrasing it, because I got Daniel's point in what he was trying to make, so I just wanted to be cognizant of it.
I understand the point too. I guess what I'm wondering is, the intent is to do it more consistently than we have been doing it, but I guess I'm just wondering, we're basically saying it's inconsistent now. If you're going to provide evidence-based cognitive behavior therapy approaches and or groups, you do that as much as you need to do that, and that would be, you would want it to be consistent, but when you call it out that way, I agree, we were looking at how we could improve what's being done, but I don't know if we need to say it there necessarily.
Can I just throw this out then? Because, again, I'm deferring to all of you. Is it more consistent? Is that what we're looking for? Or are we looking for getting rid of the consistent word?
What we're attributing to is outcomes now when we're talking about that, because I can do one intervention, but how do I know the outcome really did what it's intended to do? And what I'm hearing is, are we really successfully completing cognitive, you know, therapy approaches to its full extension of the model that it was described? The model said you had to do 12 sessions. Well, we are not getting student or youth completing it for those 12 sessions. So are we wanting to add that into an evaluation segment? Is that what's there? Or do we want to see successfully complete, you know, these evidence-based models? Because that's what we know is what we want. We want them to be successfully complete or whatever it may be, but it successfully completes. So I don't know if that's the word, but what you're talking about is, how do we know that these programs, I mean, we're doing them, but we're not doing it effectively. So,
well, right, we're doing an approach that is evidence-based, but we're not doing it in a way that is evidence-based. So if you take an approach that is evidence-based, which you only do it once a week, but it's prescribed 3 times a week, you're not going to see the result that you want to see and what the research showed from that evidence, or demonstrated. So when we say evidence-based cognitive behavior therapy approaches and or groups,
given that you're
it suggests that we're doing it consistently with the evidence base, which is not currently, we're doing cognitive behavior interventions, but we're not necessarily doing it in an evidence-based way. So I think if we take the word consistent off, we have the evidence-based cognitive behavior therapy approaches and or groups. You know, really fidelity is what we're talking about. Are you doing it with fidelity to the model? And that's true for any of these evidence-based things, not just the cognitive behavioral therapy. So I think we're okay taking the word consistent out if everyone else is okay with it. And then...
Yeah, it inherently includes that it's consistent.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're finding a need there, and that's evaluations and outcomes, which I think we've been all talking about that. This is what our intended plan is. And if we're going to do it in evidence-based, how do we ensure that we're being effective with that? So that's part of our programming evaluation, which is true fidelity.
I'm okay with taking it out, but I mean, just a thought is you could put something like consistently applied or, you know, with fidelity, like Dawn suggested, or just take it out and address that need to. I think later in Judge Motueka's draft, there's the need to evaluate the existing programs is addressed, so, and maybe that's all we can worry about it there.
Yeah.
So I would agree if we can just start with that paragraph and just getting the word consistent. I think we're getting all different kind of definitions where, you know, if we're still coming across for this section, which is the program and services, then such services will include, which I would think that would tell the reader that it will include the bottom everything we state below that.
Well, they may, Chief, remember? They may.
Yes, get rid of will and put may. No wills and no shalls in some mays. Okay. Okay, we're just going to move right on through on that paragraph now down to the next one. And Judge, you have some questions, assuming the type of training is provided.
Chief, I assume that all this training, I mean, you guys are getting a lot of training. I know your department does it. And so it would be nice to call that out just to say that there is, there are culturally responsive services that we have. And part of that is because our officers are appropriately trained. So I didn't know if, you know, there was more training that you wanted to kind of just call out there.
List of classes, like such as or whatever.
Just so that, you know, there is an awareness there that the staff supporting these youth are going to be trained or are continuously trained in these areas.
Okay. All right, the next section, grant funding will be used to provide appropriate training to probation staff, collaborative partners in areas of trauma and culturally responsive practices. I think that was brought up by Steve earlier, some of our conversations, if not Nasley as well as Heather, making sure that it's the collaborative partners along with probation staff, not one or the other, more inclusive. So pages 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, with the changes to near the middle to the bottom of page 12, that will be now added to the draft plan. And we're making note of that. Thank you. Daniel, you got that?
Yes.
Okay.
Chief, just really quick, just a thought on just going back to the grant funding will be used to provide appropriate training. I know it has like implicit bias, conflict resolution, restorative justice practices. Now, these days I've been really thinking about self-care for staff, you know, probation, and for all of us who I think could have support for self-care training. I know it seems obvious, but is that something we could include in here to add it to the trainings for staff?
Yeah, because what you're saying, this is leaning just towards our training for our staff to provide the service for our youth, and you're asking for the services for partners.
Yes, partners, probation, and especially through the pandemic, it's been so funky in some ways and tough, so they're really trying to call out.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Steve, because I think that's one of the things that, you know, in many helping professions, it's incorporated within the culture of the agency to offer opportunities for personal self-care. as helping professionals. It's actually ingrained in many code of ethics to provide some types of self-care within the organization, because it is a hard population, and that's how sometimes personal biases, implicit biases start beginning, is having that self-care. It's more than just training about it, but actually providing the skills, the tools for each probation officer, counselor, whomever is working, you know, in that facility, to have an opportunity to provide those self-personal care that they need for wellness. It's really wellness, you know. So incorporating some of that training and support for the folks who are working with this population.
So if you put grant funding will be used to provide appropriate training to and for probation staff and collaborative partners, would that take care of it? Do you think it needs to be more detailed, Ashley?
I think in personal self-care, you know, I think it needs to be, that's a very, you know, common term in a lot of organizations, okay. Wellness and self-care.
Secondary trauma.
Yeah, secondary trauma is what I was going to say.
There you go.
Like how it's referred to, and I think, Steve, you just said that as well. So I think if we refer to it as secondary trauma, perfect. Everyone understands that when people hear self-care, a lot of times they think of, like, bubble baths or whatnot. We're actually talking about, you know, a little bit more.
We include that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that, but that may not be what we're going to
do. Professional term. Yeah. Yes, it is. Trauma, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Secondary trauma, compassion fatigue.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. Okay. All right, yeah. We could put bubble baths, but that sounds like a bias
but
right
let's
there
not.
For some, and
yeah.
Some may not. So, okay, Daniel, you got that sentence in there?
Got it.
No bubble baths. Okay, so 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Any further information on those sections for program services? That would have been from Judge Motoike's section, which will be included as part of the plan, replacing the items from section. We're going to go through all this when we're done, so I'm going to put that as, that's going to be the part of the draft. Okay. I just wanted to add, too, on that piece, going to page 13, I really like the Judge, the non-governmental write-up, so now we'll have that included for Section F. I believe what you wrote in there was much more, just a better descriptor of where we need to be as opposed to what we had written before. So unless the group feels differently, we will continue that all the way on, and now we're up to facility plan. Okay. Now with facility plan, I read Judge your group's section as well as the section that we have, and I think this is where emerging may come into play. The first part of the section to cover 1995-4A of the facility plan talks about today, what we're going to deal with the youth to for today. Also, you had the section in there, Judge, related to on page 14. Where the county is working on its strategic plans to renovate and build. I think that needs to be added to the original write-up, so it talks about what we have in front of us today and we don't lose sight of where we are into the future. I would make that suggestion to the committee.
And I'm seeing a glaring typo there, because there's supposed to be a new paragraph after the reference to the code section in the first paragraph, but I don't know if your intention, Chief, is to use that first paragraph as well and merge it into the original draft or not. So I'm just seeing a glaring typo that's bothering me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, at this point, having sat down and read it, I would make a suggestion to the committee as we use the facility plan write-up from our first draft, but to include the last paragraph that you had talked about, that county's working on a strategic plan. I think it's really important to memorialize that where we're headed. We're not there today, but we will be there. So we're talking about today. The reader can understand today where we're at and be mindful of where the future is coming. Okay, does the committee follow me on that one there? Thank you, Nasley. Just send me your invoice or lunch or something for doing this. I appreciate you doing it. I think it's also important on, now we're on page 14 of Judge Motoike's section there, that last paragraph about the youth and the target population will also provide appropriate space and physical activities and development reentry skills again, I think that just highlights all the way from the secure setting all the way on through where we want to be for these years. There you go. Thank you. Some of that piece there. So we would add those two paragraphs, the lower paragraph, the one above it, would be added to the facility plan that was written, submitted by Brian and his group, and then that would take care of our facility plan for now. It leaves it general enough to ensure that anything we build into the future can be incorporated, but more importantly, identifies what we have now. Okay. All right, Daniel, you got that?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then the next section is section 6, retaining the target population in the juvenile justice system. I just have a note here. I read the original one we wrote, and then I read Judge Madureka's group. I think it's the one on page 14. 14 that moves into page 15. I think that flows better. I think it does highlight our YDC model, which is clearly shown the success we've had, and that's what we're looking to build upon. I didn't know if the committee had any thoughts about that. I mean, we're writing very general. I'm going to get Laura Jose in this. I think she said fluff. We're writing very general from our original draft, but when I read the one here written by Judge Madureka's group, it's a little more specific. So I just want to hear what Laura Jose says first, and then we'll go.
I think it's great, and I regret my use of fluff.
It's okay, Laura.
But I think, I think it's Judge Madureka's plan is great. I think the goal was to really talk in this section. For me, it is to build on the YDC model, but also really that we're looking for clear case plans, right? Yes. That are robust and continue to be developed and articulated in a way that everybody can follow. So.
And Laura, I never took offense to that. I think we pushed the group where we need to be more specific, but still leave us the room. Again, to your colleague from the district attorney's office saying, hey, let's just follow what they're asking us to answer in those questions, and we did. So I would submit to the committee that on page 14, where it says retaining a target population, on over to page 15, with those two paragraphs, if that's what would be in the report. Or the plan, I'm sorry. You got a report stuck on my brain. The plan?
I have one comment. What I noticed in Brian's draft is it's very heavy on the use of incentives. It talks about monetary and non-monetary. I mean, it's talking about physical stuff as well as being incentives. I kind of like that. I like the idea of calling out that we're going to invest in physical incentives as well. Now that's not the only, we're not paying kids to stay here, but, or stay in the program, but I think that is part and parcel of success and goal attainment and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know, just throwing out there, maybe we want to be heavier on that. I like the idea of calling out physical incentives as well.
So Daniel, looking with that, could we open with that paragraph to include the second paragraph would be building off the YDC model and then flowing from there. Would the group be comfortable with that? Because I forgot, we need to look at they're asking us to describe a plan that will incentivize and facilitate, and those words are mentioned in there.
I did note Brian's section, but I think the call of this question is really not what are you doing to incentivize the kids within your programs and your facilities, but really incentivize just the overall population from going and preventing them from going into the criminal justice system. So I think that there are two ways to interpret it. So, but I don't think there's a problem at least including some of the, what probation's doing as far as incentives. It's just that I saw that the call of the question was more of a broader incentivized, meaning what are you doing to retain the population and not send them to the adult side.
Okay.
And I would agree with that. I think the call of the question is asking the county, how do we serve these youth within our system now and rehabilitate them and not send them 707 and transfer them to adult court? That's how I took it. So
now hearing the court and the district attorneys, I'm going to have Laura Jose help me out on this too, but getting, I see that too. We may have read that as how we do, you know, how do we incentivize behavior, which is more of a programming approach. This is talking about the overall county's approach and how we're going to work with you. So is the committee still comfortable with those, or do you think there's parts of that? Daniel, I'll go to you first.
I think I agree with that focus. I think what Daniel's talking about, though, in terms of the programs that, you know, that sort of model that we want to build on, maybe it can be tucked in to a different section, right?
Laura, that's what I was just thinking too, like maybe in the programs and services we kind of pull it out so it's there, right,
but that's something we want to use money for and expand, is that sort of, I don't even know if I'm using the right word, but model or theory of would you call it, Daniel, physical incentivize?
Physical, material, not monetary, monetary.
Just maybe put part of that section in the services section.
Yeah, it's probably mentioned as incentives or something somewhere, but yeah, maybe we can just add a little emphasis on it. I'll look for that in programs and services. Because I do want to invest in that, you know, and use this money for that, so.
Gift cards for everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy cow. Okay, all right, so now we are on to...
what do we call it is wraparound approach. Whatever it takes money is what we say. So that plan of whatever it takes and wraparound services will ensure the retention and the effectiveness of the program.
Full service, right, Natalie? Okay, so page 14. We're on to page 15, talking about regional efforts. This is where, again, Judge, I appreciate it. Quick and to the point, I'm going to suggest to the committee that we use from the original draft. That there does not currently exist a cooperative agreement. In the event that we cannot support Secure Track Youth, the statute's very clear that every youth will be provided, and I want to make sure we leave. So regional effort here just says, Judge Moreke section just said, at this time there are no agreements or planned or anticipated. I think I would just make the suggestion that we leave that open to understand there may be that rare youth that we had a plan that we, if we had to go outside Orange County, to Kim Doyle's part, shame on Orange County if we don't come up with it. I bet we can, but I want to make sure we leave ourselves some flexibility. I do remember what you folks say. I don't have notes written, but I do pay attention to facilitating. So I would suggest to the committee that we use the draft. I'm sorry, we don't have page numbers on there, but the regional effort, that we use that language if the group is comfortable with that.
Steve, can I just ask one thing, because I was a little bit confused by that. It says we'll leverage the consortium to provide services until...
Whoop. We need to drop that. I'm sorry. We got rid of that. So please remove, in the event the plan is unable to support... I think we just need the first sentence.
Correct.
Yeah, thank you. Great catch right there. Okay. So the committee's with just the first sentence. There does not currently exist a regional cooperative agreement between County of Orange and neighboring jurisdictions, and that would still leave us the flexibility, because that's what we have in front of us now, but it doesn't lock us in.
That's perfect.
Okay. All right. And then we move into the home stretch here. We are on to, thinking, Nazi, where am I at? Data. This is her favorite section. That's why she doesn't have lights and sirens all over this. So in the data section, again, I prefer Judge Modeke's group's write-up. We had one sentence. The probation department will track data elements for both target population. Okay, I think we need a little bit more. When you look at page 15, which is up on your screen, Orange County Probation Department has a data collection system, so it already identifies we do collect data. I think that's important. And the data has the capability of tracking recidivism-related measurements. The system can also produce. So I think for the first part, I know we have an evaluation of data, which is important too, but that first part just explains our data a little bit more, that we do collect a level that we can build upon if the group is fine with that. And then the second section of evaluation of data will be collected to evaluate the impact of the county's plan on youth rehabilitation. I think this is what you were saying, Nazli, talking on the outcome. We didn't use the word outcome, but I think where impact is powerful too. And data points may include, I think the word may. We've already saw the shalls and wills make it difficult for us, so we have a may. And I think it gives us room to consider, and I like the last sentence, additionally, an independent data evaluator will be sought. I think that's important to have somebody from outside take a look, make us better. You know, it's just a better way. Always having somebody on the outside that's a validated process that can help us and assist us. I think that just holds true and serves our youth better. So for the committee
I'm going to sound like a broken record on the evaluation of data, but where we have mental health there, can we make that behavioral health? Because we don't have substance use identified in that section. And I know it may include, but I think substance use, and those are both important.
Okay.
I just didn't want to get past that section. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll run a find and replace.
I got Daniel on that. Get rid of those.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Don, for that. Okay, so 15 into page 16. We talked about the evaluator. If the group is fine with that, it'll bring us home to, I think, this future enhancement piece. And thank you, Judge, for yourself and your group bringing this on, because these are, I think, items that maybe weren't addressed in there, but we are looking at to continue to improve. And it leaves it open for more to that section for this plan. Because this plan, again, will be looked at and reviewed and worked upon, but I think we took the plan to the next level, and to Kim Doyle's place, is Orange County, does it very well what we do, and we have by adding our own section of future enhancements.
Great.
Okay, in the interest of time, my voice and all of your patience, want me to go through the section, or I guess I could give Daniel a directive to do it, but we'll go through it real quick just to make sure, because we do want to make sure we can have a final, as best as we have here, that final plan forward for the 21st. We're on some time constraints, but I think we're there. But would it be worth it, everybody's time, that we just go through, not to the detail we just did, but just cover what we changed in case somebody may have missed something or wants to add? But a yes? All right. So take me to the cover there, Nazli, with the beautiful orange stripe. Oh, there we go. So we all agree that the cover is good. Table of contents, where it says the areas in need of development target population, we'll move that to Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant, as the BSCC named it, so it flows. But all the other sections are covered in the table of contents. Introduction on page 1. Explain where we've been, all of the great work this committee has done. Page 2, this is, I believe, Kim Doyle had brought, just give us some of the details about the statute. So we have allocations and eligibility of funds, especially for those that don't know, are educated right from the beginning. Page 3 would be removing Megan, almost renamed her, Megan Medlin's name, and adding the phone numbers of Steve Kim, as well as Raymond Sanchez.
And correcting Heather's name.
Okay. Page 4, target population. We will, probation is committed to addressing. Daniel, I'm just going to let you state it. What do we need to add? We're on page 4, 5, and 6 right now. What are we going to add?
So we're keeping 4 as it is.
Yeah.
On the table, we're going to fill that in with the actual numbers that we have. I'll see if research can do the original 51. So we're talking apples to apples with, you know, there's no different numbers that we're talking, but we'll fill in the numbers of actual youth there.
Page 4 actually has a number to fill in there with the asterisks.
Yep, the bottom sentence. Thank you, Heather. Okay. We'll get that number too. Okay.
And all the way down to the next page is all included. with the caveat that we will, under the bullet points, we will include those percentages that we have immediate access to by next week. And we would just not include those that we can't get by the time the report's posted.
Okay, so that takes us to page 6. On to page 7, we had a lengthy discussion, but if you remember, we were just going to add the sentence. We're going to use the judges' group's write-up and add the sentence. Committed secure track vehicle will be provided with enhanced frequency of services. That would be added to the first paragraph. Page 8, we will get rid of the ratio.
Or include at least, something like that.
Or at least, yeah.
More flexible language, yeah.
Okay, and then do we have something on the training part there, Anna? In addition, standard curriculum department also provides training on?
I think we're going to add that later.
Okay, we'll take that sentence out.
We got okay. More detailed on the training. Yeah,
another section. Gotcha. Page 8. On to page 9.
Yeah, so 9, 10, page 9, I'm going to add something about the incentives there under the bullet points or in the narrative about just emphasizing use of variety of incentives, you know, throughout. So 9, 10, and 11 are included as is.
Okay.
And then number 12 under page 12, we're changing such services to nay, deleting consistent, the word consistent, and then under the third paragraph under E, adding some specifics to the courses that our staff are offered, as well as what maybe needs to be added as well. So
the secondary trauma?
Yeah, we talked about secondary trauma and those kinds of things. So I think under that third paragraph, we'll add what we currently supply, such as the classes mentioned there, LGBTQ, and trauma-informed, and adolescent brain development. These are all these classes that we currently offer. And then under the last blurb there, where it says grant funding will be used, and that's what we'll maybe name some gap training, including collaborative partners, and we'll leave it open, you know, that it's not all exhaustive list or something like that, so we can add additional things.
Thank you, Daniel. So that's 12. On to page, includes on to page 13 from Judge Moreke's group, the non-governmental piece, and then we go to the facility plan, which we're going to revert back to the original draft write-up, but to add from page 14 this county's strategic plan to renovate, build, and potentially relocate existing juvenile detention facilities. Is that what you have, Daniel? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means that, please. Got you. Then, Daniel, take me over to 14. 14.
Okay, so retaining the target population will be as stated in the judge's draft. Just as it is, page 14 to the top of 15. We're going to add incentive language to program and service.
Okay. And then regional effort, we were going to add from draft 1, just the one sentence there. There does not currently exist a regional cooperative agreement between the County of Orange and neighboring jurisdictions. That leaves it open if we need to.
Data is as stated in on page 15 of the judge's draft with the note to change any references to mental health or behavioral health.
Yep.
And then future enhancements as is.
Yep. All right, SB 823 committee. Are we good with that? All right. Okay, so we are good with that. We're going to have to get a public comment. I did forget about you, Jamie. And then we'll make some closing comments. So any public comments related to item number four?
If anybody wishes to speak on item four, if you can hit the hand raise icon or star nine on your phone. We have one. So hold on, let me get, you will have 3 minutes.
Okay,
the one speaker we have is from Ramon. I'm going to unmute you. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Welcome, Ramon. 3 minutes, please.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for your time. I'm glad to have joined this. I'm Ramon. I'm here with Underground Grit. And just kind of thankful for what was being shared, right? I think it was a little bit confusing at first hearing everybody talk about what the recommendations were, but not actually having it on screen. And for myself, having to go back looking at past notes as well to like try to figure it out. So yeah, I think I really just appreciate that part, right? It helps with transparency. Yeah. That's it for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All right, Ramon, thank you for your comments. Any other public comments?
Not for item four.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, this time we will go, is there any subcommittee comments? All right, so I'm gonna make two quick comments. Our next meeting will be Thursday, October 21st at 2 p.m. More importantly than that piece of information, just to thank each of you. This has been a, to say the least, a somewhat of an exhaustive effort, but for the right reasons, and we are building something to the future foundationally. For our youth. So Judge, for you creating ad hoc groups and everybody's participation in this, just appreciated. Steve and Nasley and all you guys, Heather, just everybody. It was good to see some of you in person on a previous county meeting. Laura Dozay, I've never really met you in person, but I got to meet you in person. So it's good to see you. And just to thank everybody. This is, I will tell you statewide where I see a lot of this function. I think our plan, not only a model to follow, but I think it'll be definitely a great start for our youth to the future. So with that, any other committee comments? Appreciate your time, your energy.
You do still need to call for general public comments, though.
After.
Can I have one comment? I'm sorry. I just want to make it clear. Yeah. On the 21st, I'll be unable to attend, so I'm going to have my assistant head of court, Heidi Gerl, present.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. I appreciate that. Okay. Jamie, can we go to any general public comments?
Yes, for general public comments, if you can hit the hand raise icon or star 9. And we do have one request to speak. You will have 3 minutes. It is Sway. Okay, go ahead.
Just a quick question. I wanted to know for some of us that might not be able to attend these calls right away or join later, will there be a recording where we can revisit these calls to view them on our own time?
Thank you, Sway. Jamie?
These meetings are recorded. I can try to send them to you. Sometimes the size is a little much. If you want to provide your email address, you can, and I can attempt to try to figure out a way to send it to you. Or we can burn it to a CD or something like that.
Yeah. How would I be able to get your contact information just to make sure I can send you that?
Yeah, you can call our general number and just ask for me, and then you can provide that information. It's for our office. It's 714-834-2206.
Would you mind repeating that just one more time?
Sure, 714-834-2206.
I know I didn't have a comment, but I think now I do. Am I allowed?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. And that, is there any way to upload that on the meetings now that we are still digital and given this new situation? I wonder if we can't make it even more public to anyone. Can I go back and archive it?
If you want. It's up to you. If you want, I do have all the recordings. I have one commission that does that. And obviously the Board of Supervisors does that. But if you want to, I can post this recording. I can post the next meeting as well. It's not a problem. That way I don't have to figure out how to email a 35-megabyte file to somebody, which sometimes is a little difficult. but if you are all okay with that, I can do that.
As the chair, I will say we're okay, and that will take
okay.
care of
I will upload this recording,
yes, I appreciate that.
And I'll upload the next recording as well, so this way you don't have to worry about contacting me. It will be uploaded on their website once the minutes are finished. I will upload that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that it for our general public comments?
That is it, yes.
Okay, everybody. Again, appreciate it and thank you for all your time. And we'll see you all soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.